Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders and welcome to spring training. I am Adam Weiner, joined as always by fansided MLB insider Robert Murray. And the February free agent market is still moving, but there's more to accomplish. We've talked about every major important pitcher finding a home by the time they had to report to camp. That has not happened. There are important pitchers that we are still on watch for. So how does the market move now that gloves are popping and radar guns are going off and fans are seeking autographs down at various Arizona and Florida facilities, plus an ugly ending in Philadelphia and a couple of early spring training storylines we are watching? I want to know if Robert thinks they are something or absolutely nothing. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here. As always, happy Friday, everybody. The weekend is almost here, so that is always exciting news. Some stuff happening in baseball, which that's always pretty exciting. But spring training is here. We got pitchers and catchers reporting. We're getting updates about players and seeing videos and players playing catch. What the heck am I talking about? But good to be here as always. Adam Weiner, how's it going?
Good. Garrett Cole's throwing 96. I can't complain. Thank you for joining us. Three shows a week again, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the Prospect Show with Eric Cole at Tuesday here on the Baseball Insiders channel. If you can't get enough, you're subscribed, you want more, hit that join button. Join us in the Discord. Private Q&As with Robert at 3 p.m. Eastern every Thursday. And you can bother us between shows at the All-Star tier. We will be there to answer your questions. If there's a rumor afoot, we're happy to answer for it. Plus, twice a week, directly in your inbox, go to fansided.com/newsletters. Sign up for the Baseball Insiders newsletter and sign up for the other ones while you're there as well. Robert's thoughts on Tuesdays and the whole team on trending topics on Thursdays. fansided.com/baseball-insiders for more written content as well. Everything Robert writes goes there, plus a bunch of weird shit for me. Okay, let's get into it. Any more movement on the horizon, especially in the starting pitching market? Zach Gallen in Arizona seem to be in a little bit of a minor staring contest. All of a sudden, Zach Littell is someone that you have mentioned a lot on previous shows. Pitchers looking for homes. We are not done yet. February 13th, and there are still moves to be made. So any thoughts on what we might see transpire by the end of the weekend even?
Yeah, I don't believe there's been any movement quite yet on Zach Gallen. He is someone who stands out as by far and away like the best option available as far as starting pitchers go. And a reunion for him with the Diamondbacks makes a ton of sense to me. And they have left the door open for him. They've stayed in contact with Gallen and his representation this offseason, but nothing has gotten to the point of being close between those two sides. It would have to be like the Diamondbacks don't have a ton of flexibility as of this point. So it would have to be probably I would imagine at a shorter term deal at an AAV that would be more team friendly than he had once thought when he went on the open market. But there are other teams involved in this as well. And one that we knew of was the Baltimore Orioles. And you have to imagine after getting Chris Bassitt, that would probably put an end to any hopes there of the Orioles getting Gallen. The Chicago Cubs to me make plenty of sense. They've been pretty aggressive on the pitching front just this entire offseason. They got Imanaga back after he ended up accepting the qualifying offer. And then they obviously ended up trading for Edward Cabrera with the Miami Marlins. So they're a team that to me could use another starting pitcher. We've seen the Padres connected. And yeah, I've heard, as I mentioned on the last show, I've heard noise about that like the last couple of weeks, give or take. Can't imagine that's the most likely thing in the entire world. I can see the Padres being more active on the trade market at this point, so we'll see. But Gallen stands out. Littell obviously stands out. Giolito, guy that's flying under the radar to me is Walker Buehler. He's someone who obviously has that postseason pedigree. Obviously, injuries have kind of hampered him in recent years. Like, there's no denying that. But still, like on a one-year deal, that could be around $5-6 million. I would take it, but as of this point, I don't know of anything cooking there.
Well, it's got to start cooking soon because, again, pitchers and catchers are there. Position players are reporting. Games begin next week. So look out for movement. And again, join us in the Discord and hopefully you'll get first whiff of some of that movement. Another storyline that has taken a long time to materialize finally came to a head yesterday. Nick Castellanos in Philadelphia. We learned more from a handwritten letter than I ever expected to know about. I wouldn't say what led to the divorce. I would say the divorce was almost inevitable before the relationship began. If you read back in the Matt Gelb story, basically said Castellanos was begging his agent to find anybody but Philadelphia with similar money back in 2022. Really wanted to go to Miami, couldn't get a match, so he takes that money. He was a huge playoff performer for the Phillies for a time, especially against Spencer Strider and the Braves in 2023. But that relationship went downhill fast, culminated in a strange incident with a popped beer in the dugout. Kyle Schwarber trying to wall him off from the cameras, berating management. This is Sun taking batting practice on the field before a playoff game where JT Realmuto wanted to hit. A lot of ugliness, and no surprise he's not a Philly. We knew he wouldn't be a Philly. They hoped to find a trade partner. They did not find a trade partner. Here we are, released. Don't show up to spring training and released. A lot of teams apparently interested. John Heyman naming a whole bunch of teams, not the Marlins, unfortunately for Nick. They got ahead of it. When does he find a home, and who do you think would consider it?
Yeah, I would say for me on Castellanos here, he's someone who I could see that happening sooner rather than later as far as when he ends up finding a new home. There is, as John Heyman mentioned, there's plenty of interest in him already. It seems like teams really understood what Philadelphia was doing. They were desperate to get rid of him. And I mean, shoot, if you looked at it between Dave Dombrowski interviews or Preston Mattingly interviews or anybody who was speaking from Philadelphia, it was pretty clear that they wanted to get rid of Castellanos, and everyone was waiting for him to be released. And they released him in that big salary. And now they can pursue him and sign him to a veteran's minimum contract, which is a really enticing thing. He's obviously, like, last year was a struggle for him. Don't get me wrong. He's not like, he doesn't have the best arm in the outfield by any means, but he's still a veteran player, can provide pop. I think we'll see a solution sooner than later there. But as far as his exit in Philadelphia, I had someone tell me about the Instagram post yesterday. And it was, I knew it was a handwritten letter. I could have never imagined anything quite like that. I don't think we've ever seen anything like it before. But he detailed the incident that eventually Matt Gelb ended up writing about. And that story by Gelb, that is worth the Athletic subscription just by itself. Like, that was one of the best stories. Like, Gelb is, like, this is my moment to, like, to praise Matt Gelb. To me, he's the gold standard as a beat writer. He's incredible at what he does. So go read that story. Go read all the details that span from him not wanting to be in Philadelphia, that begging Scott Boras that he did not want to be in Philly to find an offer elsewhere that was similar to that, to the beer incident, to everything else that happened with him in Philly. It was an incredible story. It's a sad ending for him. I feel bad for him when he eventually has to go back to Philadelphia as a rival player. He's going to get booed pretty bad. I don't know who's the boos are going to be worse for him, or Jonathan Gannon, or shoot, even Chip Kelly, when he was supposed to be coming back this year to play against the Eagles. It's a sad ending, but he'll have a home sooner than later.
Chip Kelly actually might have been helped out by a beer on the sidelines from time to time, if we're being totally honest. But brutal ending and a somewhat distinguished career. But you look at the totality, 100 OPS plus, basically for a league average hitter, and offense is his strength for the whole career. You've seen certain fan bases pine. I think Chicago Cubs fans have fond memories of what Castellanos was in 2019, but maybe not for the player he is today. He will have a landing spot, it would seem. He will have to go back to Philadelphia eventually. I might try to settle in the American League if I were you, but I'm not you. So we'll see how that lands.
Oh, hang on. Let's see. Sorry. But yeah, no, you're, well, Okay. Now I'm waiting on something. We're good. But that was not the text. Sorry. I thought that was actually it. So
I want to pivot to a couple of spring training storylines. I want to pivot away from Nick Castellanos. Again, when he does land, we will have that for you. Join us in the Discord if you want to talk Castellanos. You want to talk handwritten Instagram posts and getting ahead of the story, which he kind of did. He wrote that Gelb covered that story. A story is going to drop without his consent or something like that. He said that's not really how stories work, but I'm not sure I would want that written about myself regardless. A couple early spring storylines that I have noticed, got my eyes on, wondering where you stand on them, whether they matter or not, whether they're just matters of convenience or the team making an active choice. So Francisco Lindor does need surgery. Got surgery on his hamate bone. He's going to miss opening day, going to miss beyond that. This hamate epidemic sucks. I hate it so much. And it's throwing the Orioles and Diamondbacks and Mets plans into chaos. But the Mets in that chaos are not planning to move Bo Bichette back to shortstop to cover the spot for whatever, the whole spring and a couple of weeks of regular season. And that makes sense. You know, they signed him to be the third baseman. It's going to take a lot of work. You see him where if you follow the Mets and you follow Mets spring training, he's doing work every day. They're dedicating a lot of camp instruction to getting him right. So you don't want to sacrifice potential progress just to move him back to short as a stopgap and then throw him into third, you know, completely oblivious and just not, you know, not fresh at all. So something or nothing that they're dedicated to keeping him at third while Lindor recovers. And how are you feeling about the fit of the new position, regardless of Lindor's injury?
Yeah. If I was the Mets, I would be doing this exact same thing because Lindor is going to be back. I mean, obviously he's going to be missing opening day, but he's not going to be off for the season by any means. If this was a season-ending injury, then I think a different kind of conversation can be had. But he's not going to miss a whole lot of time during the regular season here. And it makes all the sense in the world to keep Bichette at third base so he can get as many reps as possible. He's never played the position before, at least at the major league level. He needs all the reps he can get there. And yeah, to me, it's a really smart move by the Mets not to overreact to an early injury. Like, yeah, a hamate bone is not something to scoff at by any means. Like, he'll be able to return to the field again, like shortly after opening day. But how much longer after that he's going to be 100% kind of remains to be seen. But keeping Bichette at third base is what they signed him for. It's what they intended for him to do. So it's not surprising whatsoever that an organization led by David Stearns is not panicking. They shouldn't. And I'm curious to see exactly how it's going to go because Bichette is not known as a plus defender by any means. Now he's playing the hot corner and he's also playing it in Queens, which is not necessarily a small market. So all eyeballs are going to be on him. But I have a feeling he's going to end up being fine. Usually whenever David Stearns has a plan like that, it typically works out. And so I'm optimistic.
I liked what I saw from Bichette early at third more than I liked what I saw from Munetaka Murakami at White Sox camp at third base. Not to catch a stray there, but some iffy range, I would say, to say the least. But I would say that Bichette, it looks ready, but he doesn't have to be yet. He has to be by the end of camp. We'll see where he goes. Speaking of infield instruction, over in San Francisco, much maligned defender Luis Arraez, who waited to find a new team until he could find one that would install him at second base permanently, landed with the San Francisco Giants just under 2 weeks ago. And already, Ron Washington, one of the, I mean, universal approval rating essentially across the game for Ron Washington, back after a stint as an Angels manager, a heart procedure that kept him away from the field resulted in him stepping down. Now he has surfaced at Giants camp as sort of their secret weapon, the guy who might get Arraez right. And there's, again, say what you will about Luis Arraez's defense, there's a desire there to get better. Absolutely. He views himself as a second baseman. He went and sold himself that way all winter. He found a team that was willing to work with him there, and they have brought in Ron Washington to work with him. So something or nothing, the Arraez-Washington collaboration in early spring.
Oh, that's definitely something. Like Arraez, it's fair to say he's probably the worst defender in baseball. And having him at second base, he's comfortable there. And if there's anybody who can end up maximizing his abilities defensively, it's going to be Ron Washington. I remember one of the first things I did when I when I got into baseball and I got to be around these guys on a daily basis is I was talking to people with the Atlanta Braves, whether it was an Austin Riley, whether it was a Freddie Freeman, or whether it was whoever else there. And they always praised profusely the work that Ron Washington did with them. Like, Austin Riley flat out told me that he would not have been a Gold Glove defender without Ron Washington. And I'm not saying that Arise is suddenly going to become this plus defender where he's going to win a Gold Glove. But if he can be a better defender at second base while also still being a plus bat, then we're talking about that signing being a really good one for the Giants. So I do think that is something. I think that's going to be something that obviously is going to attract a lot of eyeballs there. Because you have, you look at that infield, you have Rafael Devers, you have Luis Arraez, you have Willy Adames, and then Matt Chapman. There's some questions there defensively for sure, but having Ron Washington there, and also I think having Washington and also Jace Tingler is going to help Tony Vitello, the first-year manager there, who's coming from the college ranks. Having those guys there who can show him how it's done at the major league level is going to be a big thing for not just Arraez, but also Vitello as well. So I think he did a nice job putting together that coaching staff.
I'm watching, you know, Giants highlights with talent all around the infield, and Eldridge and Devers trying to work their way at Casey Schmidt. Still, you know, potential overflow there. I like what I see in San Francisco. You know, keep that feather behind your cap for when it comes time to do predictions, you know, whether or not Arise and Ron Washington make that leap defensively. Again, we're not talking about reaching an elite level in year one under Ron Washington, or April and May 2026, but serviceable. And if he's, again, using those gaps in San Francisco and the average is closer to 330 than 295, then you have a valuable player. So we'll see. I would definitely agree with you that this is something. Something or nothing. Again, the White Sox caught some strays earlier. Now they're going to catch some directs. A video montage put together by Sam Phelan. Sam Phelan, been on the Baseball Insiders before, friend of the show, found four instances of Chris Getz mentioning that Luis Angel Acuña acquired from the Mets this offseason is a switch hitter. Luis Angel Acuña is not a switch hitter. He is a righty hitter. There were people being very generous to Chris Getz, saying that maybe behind the scenes they were working on him being a switch hitter, and he leaked that plan out to the general public. And no, that is not what happened. Getz had a very funny statement about it, where he basically said he's so versatile, you know, hey, maybe I got a little carried away. We told him we love him, even though he's just a righty. But we laugh. That's a funny, nice deflection. But is it something or nothing that you finally pull the trigger on the Luis Robert Jr. trade? You talk up the return in an inaccurate way, and just nothing, no words need to be minced. He is not a switch hitter. And it was pretty clear that Chris Getz thought he was one.
Yeah, because like you say something wrong once, like, okay, that's not a mistake. You say it twice, three times, and four times. That's tough. And like, you wonder, like, if he was just trying to hype him up as much as he could, or if he was misspeaking, or you wonder why somebody didn't end up correcting him. I think I saw a guy like A.J. Pierzynski mention that yesterday on Foul Territory before I was on. Overall, it's not the greatest look for Getz. Like, I don't think anyone can say otherwise. But that being said, like, they're still very high on Acuña. That was a player that they had wanted from the Mets in that Luis Robert Jr. trade. They ended up getting him, obviously. One thing they do really like, obviously he's a talented guy, don't get me wrong, but his bloodlines, obviously his brother's with Ronald Acuña Jr. So, I mean, he's not going to suddenly become his brother by any means, but yeah, I don't know. It was just a weird one overall, because I heard it and I'm like, is that actually something they're working on? I should have followed up on it. Mm-hmm. But alas, I did not. And it turned into him having to issue a statement yesterday being like, well, I may have been hyping him up too much, even though he's not actually a switch hitter. But that being said, I still like what they're doing this offseason, but that was kind of a swing and a miss there by Getz.
I do like what they're doing this offseason. Do not get me wrong. Just because they've come up in a negative context twice on this show does not mean I don't like what the White Sox do. I wouldn't say watch out for them in the season preview episode, but I would definitely like where they're at.
No, for sure. Yeah, I'm not watching them to win the division by any means. If they did, that'd be one of the biggest surprises in recent baseball history. But I will go back to Murakami, who you ended up mentioning before. And like
slandering unnecessarily. Yes.
Yeah, like the early look may not be the most encouraging thing by any means, but he's transitioning over from overseas. Like, this is it's a pretty big switch for him. And I still think that was one of the best offseason moves here from any team, not just the White Sox, but by any team, because shoot, he's what? And he's still in his 20s, and you have him signed for 2 years of his prime. If that deal works out, you have potentially two all-star caliber seasons, if not better than that. If it doesn't work out, then you can cut him after two seasons and you really don't have to worry at all about the long-term ramifications of it. For a team that is ascending like the White Sox, where they're trying to build, where they're trying to get to the next level, that is exactly the kind of signing that they have to take. It's like, yeah, is it a risk? $34 million, that is a risk for sure. But I love the move by them. Nathaniel Lau going to the Cincinnati Reds, by the way. Mm-hmm. That is some news that is happening during this show. Always exciting, but I do like what the White Sox are doing, but give me one, probably two-ish, maybe 3 years away from contending, but they're finally starting to build this thing in the right direction.
Two-ish, three, you know what, maybe four, it could be five. When it
is. Maybe 20.
It would be nice. I like, look, every Murakami BP session has been electric so far, and as much of a must-watch as the defense has been a work in progress. So I, like you said, I'm a believer in what they are building. It could take a while, could take longer than most people want, but I like the direction overall. Also, Joey Lou Profito for Jesus Sanchez this morning. We do have to mention that briefly. And the Astros say there's more coming. So they reunite with one of their former prospects traded for Yusei Kikuchi. Now they got to make an infield move work. Do you have your eyes on that at all?
Yeah, I would say like the guys to watch are either going to be Isak Paredes or it's going to be in a Christian Walker. And Walker, he hasn't had that big of a market at all this offseason. So that would make me think that Paredes could end up being the guy to watch there. And shoot, we've seen the Pirates connected. I still think the Milwaukee Brewers make a whole lot of sense for him as well. There's going to be others involved for a player of that caliber. And yeah, I also the Boston Red Sox have been mentioned as well. So there's plenty of other teams that are going to be checking in on this to see exactly what it's going to take to pry him away from Houston. But Dana Brown made it pretty clear that they are not done. And I'm going to take him for his word, which to me, we're probably going to end up seeing another move here from the Astros before too long.
Yeah, Carlos Correa said today, I'm not a GM, but you can only play four infielders. Does not get more blunt than that. When Dana Brown says, I'm not done, he's not done. When a GM has GM speak, you can interpret it any way you want. When a GM says, I'm about to make a move, you should probably believe them, especially when Correa is reinforcing that. And we will reinforce your priors on every episode of the Baseball Insiders Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday for the Prospect Show. Catch us next week. Join us in the Discord for a private Q&A with Robert on Thursdays. No Monday show. It's a holiday, but we'll see you right back here live Wednesday afternoon talking ball and catching up another 5 days from now. The rumors will probably be hotter than they are today. Maybe some more pitchers will find their homes. Maybe the Zach Gallen standoff in the desert will be over. Until next time, I'm Adam Weiner for Robert Murray. Take care and have yourselves a good weekend.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.